boys. We've got Patrick Rose down here. Well, Patrick, you certainly didn't have your kicking boots on today, but at least the Seagulls did a very good performance there. It was sort of like a, if my memory serves me correctly, it was a 83-point turnaround at one stage from early in the second quarter, and was a brilliant effort.
Yeah, we started pretty slow, but, you know, Collingwood are going to be a good side this year, and, you know, eventually we knew if we kept playing, you know, the way we wanted to play, we'd eventually get on top, and it showed that in the end. You know, we started run away with the game.
Was Brad Gotch a bit disappointed with you in that first quarter, the early part of the second quarter? Was he fairly measured, or did he sort of took things pretty quietly?
Yeah, no, he was okay. He was a bit disappointed with the way we started, but, you know, we were pretty slow out of the blocks, and they came out on, you know, on top, and, yeah, he said make sure we stick to our guns and, you know, play the way we want to play, and eventually it'll turn our way, and it did, thankfully.
And you've been at the club 4 years now, and then it's obviously be good to be a part of the alignment with the Western Bulldogs players.
Yeah, they're great. You know, we I think we're with Colin 4 or 5 years, and now with the Doggies, and, you know, the young Bulldog blokes are great. You know, they always come back with enthusiasm, and that's all we can ask, and, you know, play to our standards.
Well done, Paddy. Well done on a great performance. We might have a word with Ben Davies, and we'll have a quick word with him. Tristan and Chris. Ben, can we have a quick word, mate? Well done, mate. Fantastic effort. Back to your local area in Williamstown, where you actually live now. And one stage you were on Collingwood's list when you were playing with Williamstown, then you went to North Melbourne, played a lot of games for Werribee, but unfortunately couldn't get a game for North Melbourne. What's it like being back at Williamstown?
Oh, it's good, mate. I've always followed Williamstown, so it's good to be at the home club, so it's good.
And you're only a young lad, and you got plenty of football left in your life as far as you're concerned.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy to play playing VFL with Williamstown, and I'm happy as it is at the moment, so it's good.
And what's Brad Gotch been like to you?
Oh, good. I've coached under him played under him for 3 years, so he hasn't changed much. He's still got all the same philosophies, and yeah, he's a great coach.
Well done, Ben. Well done on a great effort. Sammy, can we have a quick word, mate?
Yes.
Listen, fantastic effort by you across that half-back line. There was a lot of, you have to stop a lot of the attacks here from Collingwood, but the way you measured up was very good, wasn't it?
I just could just get the win out of the way the first game up. We started off pretty slow, and then yeah, we came out and just hard at it and ran over them in the end.
What was the reason for the slow start? Did they seem to be a bit more switched on, or did you fellows seem to be not quite on your game as far as you're concerned?
No, they just got a couple of easy balls out of the middle and got it forward, and our defence, we were just kicking it long, and they flung back. We handled that well in the end.
Well done to you, Sam. It's good to catch up with you, and guys, we'll get Brad Gotch after the song, guys.
Thank you to Phil Pearce down there at ground level. I don't think the players stand much of a chance once Phil Pearce just approaches them, says, boys, can I have a word? They don't have much choice. He plonks himself right in front of them, opens his hand out as if to shake them, and says, boys, you're mine for the period of the next 3 minutes. Good work to Phil Pearce, by Phil Pearce, should I say, down at ground level. We always appreciate his input. What about his first question to Patrick Rose?
Yeah, about 4 questions rolled into one, wasn't it?
It was very impressive, and I think Patrick Rose handled it well. So Phil Pearce, I think, going to try and be in amongst it for the Williamstown song. Yes. I know it's a fairly crowded room down there and fairly tight.
He's back to his best old Phil. Now, I reckon the scoreboard attendant here might have tacked it up a bit early, because I reckon that goal after the siren to Jared Grant has not been added to the scoreboard. I've got 21 goals down in my score sheet. They've only got 20 on the scoreboard, and didn't see whether the goal umpire signalled for all clear or not. But we'll get the final scores, no doubt, and the all clear in a few minutes' time. As it is, currently stands at Williamstown 21-11-137, Collingwood 11-9-75. Those goal kickers again, O'Keefe 5, 4 to Little, 3 each to Egan and Grant. Singles the rest of the way. Davies, Jolly, Johnson, Skipper, Wood and Everett, while for Collingwood, 4 to Dick, 2 each to Brian and Dawes, singles to Sidebottom, Scott Reid and Tim Hunt. A couple of SMSs have come through too. That number again, 0424 438 415, if you want to send us your thoughts or questions about today's broadcast. And we'll discuss in the post-match with myself, Chris Weaver, Tristan Fernander, Nick Nikolowski and Eddie Sadler. Here's the song. Just waiting for Brad Gotch, the coach, to get into the middle of the circle there. Just taking their time. As Tristan mentioned, they're very small changing rooms underneath the Legend Stand there. Well, it's a unique song that Williamstown have. They had to sing the old Collingwood song with changed words for a few years there, but good to hear the original, which was changed back a couple of years ago, in full voice this afternoon. Coburg, of course, this year, the other club that reverted back to their traditional theme song. Nick and Eddie, your thoughts, particularly in that last term when Williamstown ran it out too strongly?
Yeah, definitely. I think the writing was on the wall three-quarter time, and just you thought that Collingwood might have come out this quarter and just fought it out a bit, which was quite disappointing. I thought they'd just lay down and let Williamstown dictate the proceedings in this final quarter, but you can't take anything away from Williamstown. They were very solid today.
Yeah, I thought it was also, Nick, a lacklustre effort by Collingwood, particularly in that last quarter. I thought, mate, the biggest issue Collingwood had was consistency. They really couldn't get it at any stage through the match, both as a side and individual players. So I think that'll be one thing they'll be working on through the week.
Now, the boys, the SMSs are flying in.
Wow.
Just to ask you a few questions. In your post-match review, that number once again, the VFL talk line, the SMS number, 0424 438 415, and Disco has phone in hand to fire you the question.
Darren from Hoppers Crossing again has put forward his thoughts and going through some of the players that we're talking about this afternoon, and he mentioned the two ruckmen, and he also mentioned some of the on-ballers, in particular Cook, Stanley, Sidebottom. He wonders if maybe Collingwood's depth are too easily beaten at this level.
I don't know, because last week Cook was very good, Stanley was solid. It's just week in, week out. They're good players. I think Cook is probably the player that can take that next step, but obviously there may be issues that we don't know about there at the club. But some of the others, definitely. And Corey, I think, is a bit disappointing. They're probably expecting big things out of him this year, and I'm not sure. He's not even that good at this level, I don't think.
They've made some good run, I thought, at times, particularly during the second half, Anthony Corey. Looks to have a bit more time than a few of his teammates.
Looks to have a bit of weight on him.
Yeah.
I'm sort of leaning towards Chris's argument there. I thought there were parts where he was very good, Corey, but there were also parts where he was fairly disappointing.
Bit of a curate's egg then for Anthony Corey. It was good in parts, his game this afternoon. But no doubt, still some things to work on if he's to make his way into Collingwood's best 22 for AFL level. Stats from Kane Pollard, who's done that wonderful job all afternoon and to full time. Inside 50s, it was Collingwood 35, Williamstown 39. Free kicks, Williamstown 27 to Collingwood 18. Clearances from the centre. Collingwood actually won it 18-14, but didn't use the ball effectively or got caught up too often in tackles close to the footy. We can go down to boundary side. Phil Pearce is with Brad Gotch.
The second quarter was sort of an 83-point turnaround from there.
Yeah, well, I think I was sitting up in the box thinking we just looked a little bit rusty. You know, they'd had that one game under their belt.
Yep.
And even my co-selectors and that were sort of saying, look, we just need to be patient. We look a bit rusty. We were fumbling the ball. We weren't working hard enough, especially that contested ball. We just weren't getting our hands on it.
Yeah.
And we were missing some tackles. And yeah, so it was just a combination. Maybe they had that game under their belt. We were a little bit rusty early. And I thought that, you know, 5-10 minutes in the second quarter, the game swung. And we worked a bit harder. We were cleaner. We had some targets. We seemed to work out how to use the football on this ground. And we found those targets and put the score on the board, which was great.
Bit disappointing to see Jason Cloak going off there with a minor hamstring injury. He looked very despairing and a bit disconsolate.
Oh, he was distraught. He kept sending the message up to me that he thought he was capable of coming back on, but the doctor's not. Actually put him back on for about 5 seconds, and the doctor's got on the phone and said, no, he's no good. If he continues on, he may be no good for next week. So they reckon it's not too bad. It's more back-related, so we'll see how he goes during the week. But certainly it made it difficult then sort of rotating around with that one less player in these conditions.
I was going to ask you, it was an amazing performance because it looked as though Collingwood were generating more run, especially across halfback and in the middle when they're driving forward, and your Seagull defenders were under pressure because it looked as though they were going to blow the game apart. But to your boys' credit, they really fought hard, and the way they played with a lot of spirit showed how the Seagulls had to play.
Yeah, I think maybe their guys got a little bit tired. I thought they started to drag their legs a little bit, probably about halfway through the third quarter. So that was a good sign for us to think that we were actually running on top of the ground. And because we'd started so poorly, to still be in the game and not be too far away, like 20-odd points or so down, I think it was, the worst result, we were always going to come at him.
And Patrick Graves didn't have his kicking boots, unfortunately, today. Maybe he's been getting the gifts from the Western Bulldogs players. But I was going to ask you that Scott Meyer and Cameron White did a pretty good job down back when they certainly had to stood tall in your midfielders. Like Brett Johnson went a bit quiet, but he sort of came into it. And also your midfielders really panned out from there.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I thought that Dawes had the better of White, so I switched over Meyer and White, and I thought that probably made a big telling move on the day, because Dawes was looking very dangerous, and they seemed to match up better on those two guys because Brian was down forward, and that sort of helped White a little bit more. Also, I thought our half-back line started to run a bit in that third quarter. I think we got two goals off the half-back flank, so that was pretty handy. And then the midfield, look, I sort of put Reid on and off a bit during the day, because he is an emergency for tomorrow. So I've just got to be a little bit careful with AFL guys. This is the anomaly of the system. When you've got Everett and Reid that are emergencies for tomorrow, say someone gets sick overnight, you just can't afford to play them the whole 100 minutes or 100% of the game.
Oh, no.
So I sort of held Sam back a little bit. But then when I left him on the last quarter, I thought he had some telling possessions and impact on the game.
I noticed you took Robert Murphy quite a few times off the ground to make sure he busted his gut too much, because you didn't want to see him do another injury. But it looked as though he was moving okay, a bit rusty, but he'll benefit from it.
Well, naturally, under specific instructions with quality players like that, you know, the Bulldogs wanted him used a certain way. And then that's fine for us. We'd rather have a quality player like that playing down the VFL. Wouldn't we have been able to watch him coming back from a long injury layoff? So I just looked after him as best I could within the circumstances of the time that I've been given to use him.
And a couple of ex-Collingwood players, Ben Davies and Chris Egan, obviously good to have at the club. And playing against their former teammates would have given them plenty of bit of verbal stoush, I suppose.
Look, I haven't spoken to the boys about that sort of stuff. I think Collingwood played it in a pretty good spirit from what I can gather. But Egan was telling with, you know, a couple of goals there that he kicked. He's very classy. He's a bit frustrating at times with a few little things that he does when he doesn't give it off first go. I had him off twice for 50-metre penalties because he mouthed off to the umpire. And just little discipline things like that. I've got to work on him because he's a very good player. And Ben Davies, I used him in quite a few roles today, playing through either the wing or on ball or even back or half forward. And I think he ended up with a goal or two and sort of created a lot of opportunities. And his run and dash will be very important to our team this year.
And finally, Brad, before we go, a couple of home games in the next 2 weeks. You've got your old foes, Werribee, your neighbours in next week. And then I think you've got Sandy at Willie, and my word, they're two very hard games, because no doubt both of them will certainly improve a lot better than last year.
Yeah, you'd think so. So we're just looking forward to that, to get back home and have a good win today. So it should give us a bit of confidence going into next week. And naturally, when you play at home, you'd like to win as many of your home games as possible, because you think it's a bit of an advantage playing at home. So anyway, good start to the year. Very happy.
Well, Brad, look, it's always good to catch up with you, the smiling assassin of the Williamstown Football Club, guys. He's always good to chat with us. And may we say good luck, not only for next week, but best of luck for the rest of the season.
No worries. Thanks a lot, Phil.
Back to you, guys.
Good work, Phil Pearce, with Brad Gotch at ground level. The Williamstown coach, very happy with the way his side got off this season. They won by 117 points last week, I think it was, against the under-17 side. And this week they have demolished Collingwood by 62 points. The final score, again, the scoreboard attendance unable to help there, but we think 62 points with that final goal not having been counted on the scoreboard, but possibly by the goal umpire. So 21-11, 137, Williamstown. Collingwood 11-9, 75. We'll get to Eddie Sadler's thoughts in just a second, and his 3-2-1 for best players on the ground. In the meantime, though, Travis from Murrumbina has rung through. No doubt just enjoying himself on the Saturday afternoon, maybe with a hot chocolate out at Coburg or somewhere. He wants to know, how did Murphy and Cordy go for Willie and side bottom for the Pies? Well, Robert Murphy had very little game time, which I think we were expecting to see, in all honesty, this afternoon. Came onto the ground, got a couple of touches, but still looks a couple of weeks away from full fitness there. Ace Cordy, meantime, Eddie, contested well throughout the afternoon, I thought, and Ruck didn't seem to tire noticeably.
No, good performance by Ace Cordy for a youngster, and particularly, as we said in the preview, there's nothing of him as far as his stature goes. He's a very lanky player, and showed at times glimpses of his classiness, particularly with that, I think, on that end of the ground there, Chris, that look-away hand pass in the first quarter. So he could be a classy player, and no doubt Bulldogs fans will enjoy seeing him in years to come.
Yeah, very much a work in progress is Ace Cordy, but if the signs this afternoon are anything to go by, there's a lot to get excited about. Still side bottom meantime, we know that Collingwood have been trying to play him in midfield a bit. He seemed to run forward of the contest towards half forward and get a few touches there as well.
He did. They played him, I think, in the second and third terms more as a half forward sort of player. I thought a better performance by him than last week, but still just getting there, still a work in progress. He hasn't taken that step from underage footy to open age footy quickly. He might take a few more weeks, you'd think.
Yeah, and wearing a very famous number, of course, at Collingwood, a number 22, is worn by the likes of Bob Rose, Tony Shaw, John Greening down the years. It's a lot to ask of a young kid straight off the cuff. Phil, you're going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, hopefully the interviews went pretty well down there, guys. And I like interviewing Brett Gotch. He's such a good fellow. He's very controlled, like, compared to other coaches, isn't he, Chris?
Well, he puts up with you, Phil. That's the first thing.
He's got a good sense of humour, though.
Yeah, we know. We've noticed. As I say, he deals with us very well, does Brad Gotch, and all our little problems during the course of the broadcast. Tristan, you just put the cans back on.
Yes.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts, look, I don't know where the Pies are at. I've got a real worry about their depth. We've had a few SMSs coming in just questioning that very point. Look, it remains to be seen. Mick Malthouse and his coaching staff have shown an incredible amount of faith in the likes of Cook, Stanley. I suppose you can't really point the finger at the young guys like McCarthy. He was fantastic last week before being injured and not playing today. Sidebottom, he showed some real class at the start of today. He faded out of the game, but I think you can probably come to expect that from a junior-type player. I think you've got to look at the likes of Reed and Chris Dawes, those type of players that have been around in the system for a couple of years and really don't seem to have come on in leaps and bounds. Some players at a lot of other clubs, you see, they've tasted AFL football and they've benefited as a result. These blokes have played AFL football, shown they can be handy enough on the big stage, but then come back here and really look quite uninspiring. So from a Collingwood perspective, I really don't know where they're at. I don't think they'll be making too many changes to their side that beat Brisbane last night. Obviously, Heath Shaw will come back in. That's probably a question mark at VFL level, just some of the VFL-listed players. Tim Hunt showed a little bit today. He was another that faded out of the game. Williamstown, what can be said? They're a very strong VFL side. We expected that. Rightfully premiership favourites. They've got a strong Bulldogs contingent, and while they stay standing, their VFL depth is always going to shine through and they're going to be very hard to beat. And it may have just been a little bit of a hangover last week and basically hit their straps and they did okay.
I'd like to see Chris Dawes play away from the goal script a bit. Just give him a bit of responsibility elsewhere around the ground, see how he's able to cope there. Eddie, 3-2-1, your thoughts on the better players this afternoon?
I started off with Williamstown, 3 votes there to O'Keefe, 5 goals, good effort by him. 2 to Little, especially with that great goal towards the end of the match.
Sorry, we've just, the microphone sort of gone off a bit there. Sorry, is it? Yep, okay, sorry.
And I've given 1 vote to a Collingwood player by the name of Brad Dick, 4 goals, and a really good first half by him with 3 goals, faded out towards the second half. But there was no one that really played 4 solid quarters of footy for Collingwood, so he was one of the standouts for them.
Yeah, played well when the heat was in the game, I thought there, Brad Dick, during the opening term. Good running footy, good kick on the run, which was good to see, and one of the few players to nail set shots at that far end of the ground as well, towards a construction site. So, just about to wrap up here, we'll get the score updates meantime from the other grounds. In the meantime, of course, 7 p.m, don't forget to tune in to KC Radio again for our second game today when the KC Scorpions take on Port Melbourne out at KC Fields. That's with Kane Pollard, Simon Petch and Darren Parkin, and certainly one to look forward to the game tonight. At the other venue, Churnside Park, being Werribee against the Bendigo Bombers. Final scores from today's game then. Obviously, you know from this venue, it was Williamstown by 62. But in the early game, the ABC TV game, it was Sandringham, 13 goals, 684 to Frankston, 8 goals, 654. For Sandringham, 6 goals to Sortner, while for Frankston, 2 each to Tory Dixon and to Michael Lowry, with both Clinton Proctor and Byron Barry injured for the Dolphins. While a big win out at ABD Group Stadium for Coburg. You might remember back in round 1 last year, in a grand final replay, they thrashed Geelong by about the tune of about 12 or 13 goals. Very similar again today. Coburg, 27 goals, 16. 178. They were too strong for Geelong. 16 goals, 8, 104.